download the Monday Night Talk podcast from iTunes for free. Just search for Monday Night Talk WATD. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
We turn things over to Christine James for this portion of Monday Night Talk as we will go into our forum featuring five candidates running for two seats on the Board of Selectmen in the town of Hanson. Christine?
Thank you very much, Kevin. Good evening and welcome to a WATD political forum. Tonight, the town is Hanson. The race is for selectmen. I'm Christine James, your moderator. Five candidates vying for two seats. We've got incumbent Jim Egan, along with Lawrence McCann, Ken Mitchell Sr., we're waiting for. We've got William Scott and Bruce Young in studio also. Now, joining me tonight to ask questions, we've got your host of Monday Night Talk. That's our own Kevin Tachi, and of course, WATD's Charles Mathewson. Our format is simple. We use this for every political forum. We ask to please keep your answers to a minute if you can. If people start rambling, the bell comes out. We have asked the candidates, that's what it sounds like. We have asked the candidates to prepare opening and closing statements no longer than 2 minutes. They can be as short as you want, but please no longer than 2 minutes. Now, in between your opening and closing statements, we'll ask a round of questions, including the lightning round. That's where the answers are either yes or no, or one or two sentences tops. And if we have time, we'll let the candidates ask each other a question or two. We determine the opening and closing order of the candidates earlier by pulling names out of the official WATD newsroom koozie. And here they are. It's going to be Jim Egan, William Scott, Lawrence McCann, Bruce Young, and Ken Mitchell Sr. So let's begin with opening statements. Let's start with Jim Egan.
Thank you. I want to thank WATD for this opportunity. And by way of background, I just want to mention that I came to Hanson about 40 years ago. At the time, I was living in a small apartment in Whitman, and I was teaching at Silver Lake Regional High School. On one of my daily trips along Route 27, I noticed a house that was empty and for sale. I looked at it. I liked it. I bought it. I made a decision to stay. I liked the town of Hanson. So I came kind of by accident, but I stayed on purpose. I've been a political activist most of my adult life. When I first came to Hanson, I ran for state representative in 1988-1990 unsuccessfully. I refocused my efforts on town government. I joined the Capital Improvement Committee. I ran for selectman. I was successful in that campaign. Along the way, I have continued with service on the Capital Improvement Committee. I'm on the Open Space Committee, the Zoning Bylaw Committee. I served on the Open Space Master Plan, the Phoenix Committee, the Police Station Building Committee. I started out as a member. I became the vice chairman, and about halfway through, I became the chairman of the Police Station Building Committee. I was instrumental in the Community Preservation Act coming to Hanson as serving on the initial steering committee. I'm a member of the Regional Selectmen's Group. And as your selectman for the last 9 years, I have served four of those years as chairman of that board. I've also served on several ad hoc committees and study groups, etc. Over the years, I've developed a deep understanding of how town government works, as well as some of the problems it faces. I think of myself as a problem solver. I gather as much information that is available, apply analysis, experience, know-how, I come to a conclusion. I do not have an agenda. I do not adhere to any ideology. I try to do what makes the most sense for the town. If you think that a thoughtful, reasoned approach to town government is what you want, I'd appreciate your support at our annual election on next Saturday. Thank you.
Thank you very much. That was Jim Egan. Now we're going to go to William Scott.
Yes. Good evening. My name is William Scott. As you know, most people call me Bill. I'm a 60-plus year resident of Hanson, whether that, if we're counting or not. I moved there in the early 50s. I attended the fourth and fifth grade at the Hanson Town Hall. I went to Indian Head School, and after graduating from that, I went to Whitman High School. Played football at Whitman High School, received a football scholarship to the University of Denver. After coming back from college, I drove truck, did a lot of member of the Teamsters Union and that sort of stuff. And after short time, I was approached by one of the local Hanson police officers to consider a job on the Hanson Police Department, and after thinking about it, I decided to do that. I was a patrolman in Hanson. I left Hanson a few years later, went to Hanover, Spent 20 years of my career in the town of Hanover. I rose to the rank of sergeant, lieutenant. While I served as sergeant, I was 5 years the court prosecutor for at the Hingham District Court. After getting more ambitious in making lieutenant, I applied for police chief's job in the town of Halifax. I got that job. Served in Halifax for a number of years. And then after I left that, chief of security, South Shore Plaza and Braintree. Then I went to work for a law enforcement supply company and traveled all over New England. And the kind of experience that I bring, I think, to the job is my close contact with municipalities, state agencies, and everything throughout all of New England, whether it was bid openings or presentations for the products that we sold. And again, as I said, that was law enforcement equipment. Became interested in the selectman's job when I heard that Mr. Flynn was not going to run for re-election took out papers, what I thought was for, with the open seat. And we all know how that has evolved, so there are now five of us. I think I can bring the background, the public safety background. I served on the Board of Health also for a few years, and I think I bring that experience to the thing. And thank you very much.
Thank you very much. That was William Scott. Now we're going to go to our next candidate, and that's Lawrence McCann.
Yes, good evening. My name is Lawrence McCann. I'm originally from Belfast, north of Ireland. I left north of Ireland in 1977, came to America. Had suffered through the troubles in the north of Ireland and lived through a time, as did my parents, my grandparents, and my great-grandparents, where we didn't have a vote. We had no civil rights. We didn't have the ability to self-determine how we would live. I didn't want that. I was a teacher in the north of Ireland, and in the early 70s, the British government, socialist government, instituted what was known as CSE examinations, which today can be equated to Common Core. And I refused to teach under those mandates. And I decided I wanted something better from what would be my family and my children. I came to America, and I've lived in this country, this great country, for near on 37 years. I have seen what has been happening to the country. All along, I wished to do something about it. I wanted to become part of what has become a country of self-government. And I wanted to find a way to serve, to do my part, to pass this country back to my children, to my grandchildren. And I decided to run for selectmen because this is where American government started. It started at town hall, where people came together on a regular basis to make self-government happen. They were the ones that created this country. And we need to go back to that. As Americans, we need to go back to a time and a place where we, the people, with our consent, give to our elected officials consent to do for us what we want. And it's important that everybody understand what town government is and that the selectmen that we elect are there to facilitate and put into place what it is that we want them to do. They're not there to take upon themselves to do for us what we don't want them to do.
Thank you very much. That was Lawrence McCann, his opening statement. Now we're going to go over to Bruce Young.
Thank you. I also want to thank WATD and Christine James and Kevin for inviting us here this evening. My name is Bruce Young, and I'm running for a seat on the Board of Selectmen at the May 17th annual town election. I'm running for one of the two seats because I sincerely feel that the actions of the majority of the Board of Selectmen require a change in leadership in this important office. I'm also running because I feel my past experience as 34 years working in private industry as a corporate treasurer, controller, and accountant, along with my many years of past experience and knowledge of town government, will benefit the town and this board moving forward. In the past, I have been a problem solver, a no-nonsense, non-political elected official whose only special interest is your special interest. I want the citizens of Hanson to have faith and trust in their leadership of this town is listening to them. I came to Hanson from a larger city where the city government was controlled by a city council and a mayor. And it was refreshing to me to move into the small town of Hanson where the citizens actually got a say at town meeting. which is still considered today the purest form of democracy. If elected, I will work diligently and will encourage your valuable input, concerns, and information that you may want to present rather than discourage it. I will always be mindful as well that 94% of the property tax base in this town rests on the shoulders of the homeowners. I will take the time to research all issues and provide you with the options that present the best affordable and common sense choices available. I will be an advocate to relieve the tax burden by promoting and encouraging business to locate in Hanson, and I will be making the process of as user-friendly as possible. And I will support grant opportunities, CPA projects that will preserve the aesthetic value of the town of Hanson, and also promote recreational activities for our youth and citizens. I ask for your vote on May 17th. There are changes that have to be made, divisions that have to be healed. I've done it before, and I pledge to you I will do my best to do it again. I ask for your vote on May 17th.
Thank you very much. That was Bruce Young and Ken Mitchell, Sr. I thought he was going to be here, I guess, so he's not. Okay, one candidate not here tonight. Let's go to questions. Kevin Tonchi, your question for our candidates, and your first question, who is it directed towards?
Well, we'll start with Mr. Scott. The question is, the biggest issue that the town will be voting on this coming Saturday is the Hanson Elementary School project. Where do you stand on this issue and why?
I've taken the position of voting no on that project. And my biggest concern is the affordability. The average home in Hanson, single-family home, is about $284,000. That tax bill for that same home now, that has actually gone up over the years, is $4,402. And I just don't think that folks can afford this new proposed project.
And we'll go with Mr. McCann. Mr. McCann, same question. The biggest issue the town has that they'll be voting on coming this Saturday is the project. Where do you stand on it and why?
I hearken back to my attitude towards self-government and the fact that I believe that the people of Hanson have been ill-served by those that they elected in this process. I don't believe that select men should take position when it comes to advancing any issue. Their job is there as a selectman in town meeting to facilitate and to implement the wishes of the people. When you take a position and when you advocate for one side as opposed to the other, I often told my children when they were growing up, as I did my wife, because that's what I was taught, You do not make a difference between your children. You do not make a difference between those that have elected you.
Okay.
You serve them best by turning around and being impartial. And that was not the case in this issue, in this whole issue.
Mr. Young, same question.
Oh, I'm opposed to the new school issue. And the reasons are economically, and I think Bill covered some of those. We're still in the biggest economic downturn of our lifetime, basically experiencing layoffs, unemployment, underemployment, forced retirement, loss of home equity, foreclosures, short sales, bankruptcies, decimated retirement savings, etc. And I think that the committee that was coming to this issue and bringing it to fruition over the past 7 years got so involved in it that they forgot the affordability factor. There were many other issues that were passed by during that time that they could have picked that were far less costly than tearing down two schools and building a $58.4 million new school that would result in the biggest tax increase in town history. We also made major renovations to the Indian Head School 14 years ago with the intention of maintaining it as an operational and educational facility for decades to come. And so I think that there are more. We have to look at the other alternatives, the other five options that were presented, as well as a five-year plan to make all those repairs that have been put on hold but haven't been done yet.
Mr. Egan, same question.
I stand in support of the new school simply because it is the most cost-effective, educationally sound, fiscally responsible solution to the problem that the town of Hanson faces in terms of our school issue. There are several points, some of which Mr. Young just made, that should be addressed. One of which is the town of Hanson has the lowest tax rate in all of the Metro South communities, which ranges 18 towns from 128 south to Halifax, from Pembroke over to Brockton. Hanson has the lowest tax rate, yet family income is in the top 30%. The affordability is not an issue. The so-called worst economic conditions since the Great Depression are improving and have been improving for the past 3.5 years. Construction costs, interest rates, etc., are very low. This is the time to make this kind of a move.
Charles Mathewson, question for the candidates.
We now have the four of you present on the record as who supports the school project and who doesn't. We've known that for quite a while, I think. Jim Egan supports the school project, and the three of you here do not. My question, first for Bruce Young, we'll go around the table in this direction, is without state funding, how would you pay for a school? Or do you think we need a new school? But the key part of that is without state funding, how do you pay for it?
There's no guarantee that we won't have state funding, so I don't eliminate the state funding from it, because there's other things that you can do. And I heard those right after the January 25th meeting, such things as I heard it from Mr. Cutler, who says we don't have to get to the back of the line because there's no single file line at the MSBA anymore. And I also heard from the superintendent of schools and also from the onus project manager that no, we don't have to get to the back of the line, that we paid for a $500,000 feasibility study, as did the MSBA. So they're going to let us use bits and pieces of that. Also, we've neglected applying for an accelerated repair program through the MSBA because we've been focused for the last 7 or 8 years on building a new school. So all those things that had to have been done to the Indian Head School in McQuan have been put off and put on hold as things get worse and worse. So we have to address those things either through an accelerated repair program or through a five-year program with a debt exclusion. It's as simple as that.
Same question?
Yes.
Around the table?
Lawrence McCann.
Yep. Well, let's be honest. Hanson entered into an agreement with Whitman for a school authority. And when they did that, they give away their right to their self-determination as far as building their own schools. They put that in the hands of a committee, 7 of which don't live in Hanson, 7 of which don't pay taxes in Hanson. You have a superintendent of schools who doesn't live in Hanson, doesn't pay taxes in Hanson, and they made a determination that they wanted a school. They are appropriating authority, and they decided that they wanted the school. And the only options open to the people of Hanson through this whole process from the moment that the application was made to the WSBA was that you will have the right to say whether or not you want to pay for it. You had no determination when it came to what the scope of the school was going to be, the options that were put out there. Mm-hmm. And I think, as I said earlier on, that the townspeople of Hanson have been ill-served by those people that they elected.
How would you pay for a school without state funding?
As it stands now, there isn't a town in the whole of Massachusetts that can turn around and build a school without state funding. Our tax dollars go to the state from our real estate taxes. We are being forced by Commonwealth government to send that money to the state. The state then allocates that money back to us. That money has not been coming back to us because of what's been going on in the Commonwealth and across the country. You cannot build a school without the WSBA.
Okay.
That's the reason why you don't give away your authority, you don't give away your consent.
Okay, Bill Scott, same question. How do you build a school without state funding?
I don't know where the comment came as far as us not getting any state funding when we look at our neighboring towns who are availing themselves of just that, to fix roofs, to repair buildings and do all that sort of thing. I'm not certain in my own mind that there is no sense. If there is no funding available, we would have to maybe take a as needed approach to fixing the schools and maybe go back to the taxpayers for an override or something of that nature. It may not get everything fixed, but take care of our immediate needs and move forward accordingly.
Jim Egan, what's your opinion?
You can't build a school without state aid. It's that simple. There's some issues that need to be clarified. First of all, from the director of MSBA, if we vote this project down, we will go back to the beginning, starting with a letter of intent. We did that 6.5, 7 years ago. If we have to go back, it'll take another 6.5, 7 years to go through this process all the way through. I don't really care that State Representative Josh Cutler said in some impromptu remarks before the town meeting that was not quite accurate. I'm quoting the director of MSBA. You will begin at the beginning. It is impossible.
I just have to say that because it's radio, you see that your challengers around the table are shaking their heads no.
That's okay. You know, if they need to look at the facts, whether they like them or not, we have to deal with the facts. And that's what I'm trying to do.
Okay. Let me jump ahead and ask you a question since we're on this vein of questioning. Do you think there's a trust or transparency issue with the Board of Selectmen in light of the problems with the school project? Let's start with Lawrence McCann.
Yes, I do. I believe from the inception of this whole project, I personally believe that there has been obfuscation. There has been a collusion of mindset to ensure that this school comes about to the detriment of the taxpayer. I believe, and I base it on the fact that when the townspeople were asked in 2010 to vote for a $500,000 feasibility study, that I believe that the process had already been in place. There were two modules in the pipeline from the WSBA that had taken place before this. They had made their application, the school board, the authority, had made their application, and they had gone through, and they were then asked, as every person involved in WSBA pipeline, to come up with a feasibility study. And then they came to the townspeople and they asked them for $500,000 to do that, a feasibility study. That, not telling them what it was they were doing initially, because at the town meeting they said that they were going to take that $500,000, that $500,000, to do a feasibility study on the McQuaid School, and that never came about.
Okay, same question, Jim. You're the incumbent here. What do you think about that, the trust or transparency issue with the Board of Selectmen over the problems with the school project?
The Board of Selectmen has acted as it should have acted. We have had bi-weekly reports from the building committee, from MSBA, for the entire 6.5 to 7 years. We have had public forums, open meetings, et cetera, et cetera. If there is any misunderstanding, it is due to something other than the Board of Selectmen. We have been open, we have been honest, we have been presenting data for 7 years.
Thank you. That was Jim Egan. Same question to you, Bruce Young. What do you think about that? Is there a transparency issue or trust issue with the Board of Selectmen over the school project issue?
I think there is. Some of it's real and some of it is perceived, but I really believe there is, because a lot of this school project and the key parts of it were basically flown under the radar. As I said, there were two key issues that took place there. This thing went from a $9 million repair to the McQuaid School to a demolishing of two schools and a $58.4 million project, resulting in the biggest tax increase in town history. And I take issue with him saying that it's affordable, and he's pointing to a tax rate. Tax rates really mean very little. It's the tax base and it's the tax levy that are important, because all towns are in different stages, basically, of revaluation. And Hanson is probably in the middle or upper portion of the taxes they pay, not in the lower portion of the taxes they pay.
Okay. Let's go to you now, Bill Scott.
And the same question.
Same questions.
I think there's a faction in town, which is, we're very aware of what is going on currently in town, that do not trust the Board of Selectmen. They have their own reasons for that. Transparency seems to be a political word, gets bantered around quite a bit. Whether there is transparency or not, again, some people are in disagreement towards that. There are many issues in town that we are aware of where there is a lack of trust towards our Board of Selectmen.
Kevin?
I guess I want to ask, and that is, one way or the other, we're going to have our answer coming this Saturday. The votes that will be counted. What if this project does pass? We'll go with Mr. Egan. What then? What's the next move?
If the school is accepted?
Yeah. What happens then?
We build a new school.
Okay. What if it's voted down? Then what?
Then we have to go back to the drawing table. We have to make some sane decisions. I've been a member of a group that's met two or three times to try to begin to look into that. I mean, we're all realists here, I think. There's a chance that this might not pass. If it doesn't pass, the way to begin is less than clear.
Can I just stop you just for one half a second and ask you a question?
Yeah.
Being the chair of the Board of Selectmen.
Yes.
The cost to the town is going to be $29 million to
correct.
Build a new school, correct?
Correct.
Providing that there are MSBA funds.
Right.
What is the cost if you're going to have to repair the two schools?
Somewhere between $32 and $38 million.
Okay, so continue as you were saying, please.
Okay. So you got to come up with $32 or $38 million. I don't know how to do that without the same kind of capital exclusion override that we're looking at currently. I think it's unwise to spend $38 million to renovate two old buildings. That is why the proposal for one single new building, cheaper than repairing two old buildings, came to be. You have to understand how MSBA works, and it's rather lengthy, and I can see that you don't want me to discuss that.
You know, would you just a minute? You know,
quickly?
If you could be real brief, please.
All right.
Real brief.
What happens over 7 years is all the possibilities are taken in by the building committee and MSBA, and they are just winnowed down as too costly, not effective, not dealing with it. And it gets down till we get to the final one, and then they select one that they're willing to fund.
Okay. All right. So Mr. McCann's vigorously shaking his head no. I'm going to give you a chance. What if this...
Hold on one second. Yes. I just want to do a station ID.
Please.
You're listening to 95.9 FM in Marshfield, the South Shore's news and information station.
Mr. McCann, give me your thoughts. If this does pass, do we build a new school?
You have no option.
Okay. What if...
May I make a point first?
Yes.
If it does pass, we have no option. The option was taken away from the townspeople.
Okay.
They have only been told that they can vote on the cost. And the cost itself has not been truly exposed to the townspeople. There are costs involved in the building of this school, at the interest that's going to be due on the bonds. It's not $29 million. Over the 25-year period that you're going to be paying back this money, just as you amortize a mortgage on your house, on your student loan, or any loan that you take out from a bank. You amortize it over 25 years. It's going to be exponentially greater than $29 million. First of all, as far as the if it doesn't pass,
thank you.
What do we do then? You go back. Yes, you do. You go back to the drawing board. My first option would be to turn around and disband that authority, that school building authority, because they are not representative of the townspeople. We don't need a Whitman Hansen school board, school committee, to turn around. This is a town school.
Okay.
It is built for the townspeople, just like the middle school was. And ask yourself this question. If we are being asked to pay out initially $29 million to build a town school, we could, in effect, go to the WSBA by ourselves as a town and ask them to turn around and give us that money, rather than go through the authority when we have been told we have no say.
Okay. Mr. Young.
First of all...
So it's obvious that if in fact this passes, we're going to build a school. What if we don't? What if it does not pass?
If it does not pass, these kids are still going to be going to these two schools, okay? And if they're still going to be going to those schools, they've got to be safe, warm, and in a reasonable place, a reasonable educational environment, which means the next step is to go with a five-point program and take care of all those repairs that have been put off for the last 10 years, like the roof at the Indian Head School, the windows at the McQuan, replacing the boilers at the McQuan, replacing the electrical system at the McQuan, okay? And And basically, Mr. Egan said 2 days after the last town meeting that he would not do that, and he would rather the repairs did not take place, and that the McQuan School be closed, and then maybe the taxpayers would get the message that we do need a new school. And that's his quote from January 27th. He said that, okay, and I disagree with it, and I think probably most of everyone else here would disagree with it. And the other thing is that you say $32 million. What was presented by the architect to the school committee on June 12th was $32 million with the probable reimbursement net of $18 million. But that particular option wasn't accepted by the building committee and never seen by MSBA.
Yeah. Bill Scott.
Bill Scott.
Yes.
If you would please answer the question. And that is
if the school passes?
If it passes, you're all for it.
If I am elected as a member, I work diligently to make that go forward. And I think you'd be crazy not to, because the people will have spoken. If they choose not to, their vote, again, we'll have to go back. If we have to go back to square one, so be it. But I think that will be the wish of the people after the vote. So we're kind of talking back and forth over what ifs here. My position is I'll work with whatever the townspeople tell us to do and go forward.
Same question, Jim Egan?
Mr. Egan already answered it.
It seemed like you wanted to answer something.
Well, there's several issues that have been thrown on the table that are still unresolved, and I think we need to clarify a few.
We all get a rebuttal?
You can all get a rebuttal. That's fine.
Okay. First of all, I know it's not me. MSBA, as Mr. McCann pointed out, will deal with the authority in place, and that is the Whitman-Hanson Regional School District. The town owns the building, but MSBA is dealing with the school committee. It doesn't deal with the town, okay? So that's something that needs to be squared away. The other thing is MSBA has already indicated that they're not interested in funding any kind of rehab or any kind of improvements to McQuan School. As far as MSBA is concerned, it does not meet the educational needs as it stands, and those structural issues that are present are far beyond what they're willing to fund. Oh. So those kinds of things are still there, and you need to deal with them. And if we pick anything other than the funding that MSBA has indicated, we're doing that on our own.
Okay, I just have to get this question. Lawrence McCann, I see you shaking your head Mr. Egan says that MSBA will not fund another type of a project, meaning a renovation. You're shaking your head. Why are you shaking your head?
If you go to WSBA website and you make an application, you're instructed and told that you come to them with a preconceived idea in your mind as to what you want to do. They don't ask you questions. They don't turn around and tell you, we'll take this, but we won't take that. You have a preconceived mindset as to what you want to do. If the school does not go through, we don't pass it here. We can go back to WSBA. We can make an application for a new school based upon, if we do away with the school committee, the township of Hanson could go back to them and say to them, we want to make an application. It is not a do-or-die situation. This is not a dire situation at all. As a former teacher back home in Ireland, teaching in schools that were 100 years old, you're looking at people who have been pushing this project for the last number of years, who were in charge of these schools for the last 25 years. Okay. If they were so diligent about what was going on in those schools, they should have turned around and made these issues upfront and clear to everybody in the town. They didn't do that.
Okay, let's go to Bruce Young.
This is pretty amusing. We got approved for a $500,000 feasibility study for the MSBA that they're paying a good percentage of for the McQuan School at 38 School Street, and now we have someone telling us that the MSBA won't even consider a renovation to the McQuan School at 38 School Street. Does that make any sense to anybody? No. I mean, they paid for part of that study. We paid for part of that study. We paid for the architect and were advised by the MSBA that we had to, that six options were had to be prepared. And three of those options that we paid for involved the McQuan School. So to say that they won't consider it is not only pretty amusing, it just doesn't make any sense at all.
Okay. Bill Scott, you'd like to chime in on this issue as well?
On what we're talking about as far as the...
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, again, as I said, we're back and forth, and everyone seems to have a strong opinion about that. My opinion is we need to see what the vote is going to generate, and then we'll have to move forward or what, and some people feel in a maybe a different direction. If the school passes, we're going to get a new school.
Okay, let's go over to Charlie now.
Okay, to get off the schools directly, but still tangentially, this issue really blew up when there was a mistake made by Copeland and Page, the former town council. I'll go to the incumbent, Jim, first on this. The board fired Copeland and Page. Do you regret that? Would you have done something different after they made the error?
Do I regret firing them?
Yes.
I regret that the situation developed the way it did. But as a member of the Board of Selectmen, I have to pay attention to professional legal advice. We pay a lot of money for professional legal advice, and it needs to be accurate. When it's not accurate, and we base actions upon that legal advice, and that's wrong, we have to do something. And what we did was we terminated our relationship with Copeland and Page and hired a new law firm.
For the rest of you, what should have Selectmen done other than discover the mistake and then fire Copeland and Page? Lawrence McCarron.
Well, each one of us can only go by what research we've done, what we have found out, and what we believe took place, and what we believe should have been best practices. Given that we elected select men to govern us, and we give them our consent to take care of our affairs, to implement and to apply our wishes, we had a school situation here where I believe there was not true transparency. I believe that the town council, that particular law firm, may have been remiss in not understanding the Chapter 71, which governs school authorities, district authorities, and the appropriation power that they have. But I got involved in this, and I went to Mass General Laws, and I started reading for myself, and I found out who had the appropriate authority. It's a moot point. Why couldn't the selectmen have known that up front when they're charged with looking after our affairs? Why couldn't they have, outside of the town council, realized that Chapter 71 and the Whitman-Hanson authority were the appropriating authority? Why do we have to put the townspeople through two town meetings based upon practices in the past, precedent in the past where we had two-thirds majority? They led us into a situation, the townspeople in a situation, where they thought they were doing the right thing, but then all of a sudden they turn around and tell us, oh, we're doing the wrong thing.
Okay,
Bill Scott, what would you have done if you were selectman other than to discover the problem and fire town council?
Now, we're referring to the current board of selectmen and what they did, or what would I do if I were a board of selectmen?
Why don't you answer both?
I will answer both. I think the Board of Selectmen made the right decision based on the information that they had before them. And it was too bad that had to happen, because Koppelman and Page had served us for many, many years. And I think in our best interest, because of the school situation and the information they had, I think they made the right decision at that time. If I were a member of the Board of Selectmen, and that is becoming hypothetical, I would probably have taken the same position.
Okay, Bruce Young, what could Selectmen have done, and what would you do differently?
First of all, my immediate reaction, if they had told me that something we've been doing for the past 40-plus years, and that is voting a two-thirds vote on every school project that involved borrowing to come before the town required a two-thirds vote, and it required a vote of the town meeting, and it required a ballot vote if it passed, I would say I would be very uncomfortable with that situation, because what town council's opinion was, it was taking the appropriating authority or away from the legislative body of the town that appropriates everything else on for every other department and giving it to 10 people, the school committee, and also part of it to the Board of Selectmen. I said, I'm very uncomfortable with that. Please find a way for us to legally give that option back to the legislative body of the town, which is the Board of Selectmen. That would have been my first reaction, and I would have looked hard for a way to do it, and if I'm elected, I will.
Okay, what I want to do now is I want to go to the lightning round, and we're going to go to, these are the questions where it's either yes or no answer or one or two sentences tops. The reporter will ask what kind of an answer they want. I'm going to start with this, and my first question is going to be, you've got two sentences to tell me. Tell me something you are as passionate about as a new school in Hanson that is not a new school that you would work to achieve during your next term. And I'm going to start down here with you, Bruce Young. Two sentences. Tell me something you are as passionate about as a new school in Hanson that you're going to work to achieve on the Board of Selectmen. Two sentences.
A better business climate in the town of Hanson to attract more business and to keep it. And also to finally find a solution to the Plymouth County hospital problem,
okay,
which has been languishing for 9 or 10 years.
Okay, two sentences. All right, what about you, Bill Scott? It's an issue you're as passionate about as the schools.
I'm quite passionate about the Plymouth County Hospital. I served on the Board of Health a few years back. We were, unfortunately, the catalyst.
Two sentences.
Not go forward.
Okay, what about you, Lawrence McCann? Something you feel as passionate about as the schools in two sentences that you'll work to achieve.
As a teacher, a former teacher, a mentor, a parent, I'm passionate about what's taught in the schools.
Okay.
I'm passionate about the civics that is not taught in the schools, the history of our country that's not taught in the schools, and I would work to try somehow or some way to improve those civics and those history lessons.
Thank you very much, Jim Egan. Something that you're as passionate about as the schools that's not the schools you're going to work to achieve in your next term.
Reorganizing town government. I think we need to review our bylaws, maybe establish a charter. Our town administrator bylaw is still at odds with some of our previous bylaws. We need to correct that.
Thank you very much, Jim Egan. Now, let's go to you, Mr. Tachi. Question, lightning round question.
All right, we'll start with Mr. Scott. Does the town need a facilities director or a building maintenance program? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. Mr. McCann?
Yes.
Absolutely.
That was Jim Egan.
And Mr. Young.
What was the question again?
The question is, does the town need a facilities director or a building maintenance program? Yes or no?
Yes, definitely.
Charles Matthewson, question. Lightning round.
As we all know, we have a real problem with heroin and prescription opiates on the South Shore. Would you prefer more enforcement or more prevention? Jim Egan.
I would prefer prevention, treatment.
Okay.
Yep.
Lawrence McCann.
Prevention.
Okay.
Better than a cure.
Well, being a former police officer, more apprehension and more
enforcement.
Enforcement, yes.
Okay. Same Bruce question, Young? Bruce.
Yes, I agree. A combination of the two.
Okay. Question that I have to ask at every forum. Plymouth County government. Time for you to stay or time for you to go? Let's start with you, Lawrence McCann. Two sentences.
Plymouth County government?
Yes. Time to stay or time to go?
Time to go. I believe, harken back to what I said initially, town government is what made this, what built this country. When you give away your powers, give away your consent, give away your tax dollars to other people, you lose your power.
Thank you very much. Bill Scott.
As far as
county government, time to stay in Plymouth County government or time to go?
It's been the history. I think it's time to try to stay with it. Maybe we have to look at the direction they're going.
Okay.
Yes.
How about you, Bruce Young? What do you think, county government, Hanson, stay or go?
There's so little left. When the court system got taken over by the state, very little got left, and I think what is left in county government, except the county commissioners, the county treasurer, and something else.
That's your two sentences.
It may be time for it to go.
That's a long sentence there. Jim Egan, a run-on sentence, please.
A run-on sentence.
Just kidding.
From a former English teacher, really? Okay. Plymouth County government, yes, we need it. Regional expenses can be attacked regionally.
Okay. Any other lightning round questions, gentlemen?
Everyone talks about Pembroke County Hospital. Can you give me one sentence about what its best reuse would be? Bill Scott.
About the Plymouth County Hospital?
Yeah.
There's been different talk around town about possibly a solar farm, possibly developing it. I'd like to come up with the best way to do that without the impact on the town as far as services and things like that.
Okay.
Lawrence McCann.
I would like to farm it out. I would like to contact entities from outside of the town, go nationwide. It's a valuable piece of land, and there are people out there who can turn around and put it to good use if we package it and put it out on the real estate market.
Okay, Bruce Young.
I think we should find two solutions. One would be a park is a great solution. A town does not have Hanson does not have a park, and possibly a county museum as well. And if it's a business, it has to be compatible with the surrounding community.
Jim Egan, PCH.
We're in the process of doing a feasibility study through Old Colony Planning Council right now. I would like to see something up there in terms of light commercial. But I think that the land is too good for a solar farm at this point in time. It's too useful.
Too expensive.
Okay, my question for Mr. McCann. If you're elected, should you be recalled for your vote on or support on any certain issues, yes or no? And if you want to expand upon it for a sentence, please do so. If you're elected, should you be recalled for your vote on support of a certain issue?
What would I do?
The question is if you were elected, should you be recalled as a selectman for your vote or support on a certain issue? Yes or no? Or give me a sentence.
Do you mean should it be allowed for people to do that? Is that what you mean?
Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do.
Okay. So I'll let
I
you
have
answer.
An unusual perspective
well,
on
no,
this,
could
however.
You explain the question?
The question is if you are on the Board of Selectmen and you support a particular project or something, and folks get out a recall petition to recall you because of your support for it, should you do you feel that it's right you should be recalled?
Of course. Okay. That's the democratic way, and that's essential in town government.
Okay.
And when someone goes against the consent of the people, then they should stand and recall.
Okay. Mr. Scott.
We certainly have that right in the town of Hanson by law. I would say no, not at that point. They have the right when they go to the polls.
Okay. Mr. Egan.
I would agree. You go to the polls, you take care of that. You don't do recalls unless there's been some malfeasance.
Mr. Young.
That's up to the people to decide. Mm-hmm. And if the people are intelligent enough to separate the silly issues from the important issues, and I leave it up to the people. I'm in favor of the recall law. I'm the father of the recall law. And it's up to the people to decide that, and they have the intelligence to do it.
There you have it, folks.
All set. All right, you know what to do? I want to go to closing statements here. It's 20 after 7. We could talk with 2 hours for these guys. This is great. We're going to reverse the order that we started in when we did opening statements. So remember, you can speak as for a short amount of time, but you can speak as long as 2 minutes. So we're going to reverse the order we went in, and we'll begin with Bruce Young. And let's move the mic over to Mr. Young here.
Thank you so much. Once again, I'd like to thank Christine James and Kevin Tocci here of WATD who are asking such great questions. I appreciate the opportunity to be here, and I'd like to thank the other candidates for being present as well. In closing, I'd like you to consider my candidacy and my efforts in bringing positive change and new guidance and leadership to the Board of Selectmen. Do we really want to continue with the current leadership, which is against sinking any more money into repairs for these buildings, and even the new if the new school proposal is voted down on May 17th. If you feel that our current leadership is correct, then by all means you should vote to re-elect your current selectman. But if you want immediate change away from that course and take a new direction towards fixing the problems on the short term and at least providing a safe, warm, and comfortable learning environment for the children and the staff, then please consider me for one of your votes on May 17th. Again, I pledge to do my best to serve in your best interest and never forget who is paying the bills and who I represent.
Thank you very much. That was Bruce Young, your closing statement. Now we're going to go to Lawrence McCann, your closing statement for our listeners.
Thank you. Thank you for holding the forum. I appreciate it and the opportunity to speak. They say all government is local, but there must be a balance of power to make it work. Balance of power leads to equitable representation and good self-government. imbalance leads to ill will on one side and corruption possibly on the other. You just have to look around the world to see the most corrupt states that exist. They are places where people are locked out of government. I'll give an example of my own home state in the north of Ireland, where the Irish were locked out of government for over 800 years from the political process. Catholics had no vote until they eventually fought back and gained their vote in the 70s. A corrupt majority lorded over them until it took a 30-year war to sort it out. In many parts of the world, we have those same corrupt majorities and minorities. And when they are left unchecked, they multiply. But the best way to ensure they don't is for the people to stop it. We must not lose control of our self-government here in town by locking out our neighbours' opinions. We must vote for a balance of power here at Town Hall rather than the party. This is our community. And if we ignore our neighbours' opinions and we lock them out of government, then we are creating a hostile environment. And that turns people off politics and involvement. This leads to the predominant group in the town being viewed with suspicion, and self-government suffers. If we look up at our Beacon Hill, we can see how power corrupts and ultimate power corrupts ultimately. There's no balance, no oversight, and no equitable self-government. Just a week or so ago, one party was locked out of the budget debate about the state budget. That is not American self-government. That is corruption of our rights as citizens to be represented. They want the taxes, but they allow us no representation. Every year, my plea at this point is to the voters of Hansen: hold on to your right to be heard, to vote, and to be represented by voting for a balance in your elected officials. By doing so, you protect your own rights and your own tax dollars and your own self-government. If I'm elected, I will work to protect and preserve your rights, your privileges, your tax dollars, and I will be your vote and your voice at Town Hall.
Thank you very much. That was Lawrence McCann. And now we're going to go to William Scott.
Yes. You know, as a member of the Board of Selectmen, the power comes from the people, not the laws, not the bylaws we get our power to govern by the people. When we take an oath of office for that position, that oath should be to represent the whole town. We're in a situation now where that appears apparent. The town is totally divided. I think that it's time for, again, others have said, a little more balance, a little more conservative approach to town government, and that's what I will try to bring to it. I would certainly appreciate the votes on the 17th.
Thank you very much. That was William Scott, candidate. And now we have Jim Egan, your final comment.
I want to thank WATD for this opportunity. It certainly has been refreshing. In summary, I just want to bring out a couple of what I think are cogent facts. One, we've had two town meetings which were overwhelmingly attended, probably the two largest town meetings in our history. Both of those town meetings voted in favor of the new school. My position does represent the people, and it's important for people to understand that. This is the majority view. And the people in town are having their right to say yes or no. We call that an election, and that's perfectly democratic, and that's the way it ought to be, and that's what the Board of Selectmen decided to do, so that all of the people could come to the polls, make a decision, and we will live with that decision. I think, generally speaking, I've been a selectman for 9 years. As I said, four of those years I've been chairman of the board. People in town know the way I work, the way that our board runs. I think it's open and it's available, and people can participate to the nth degree if they so desire, but they need to desire to do that. We are there. We are trying to do what's best for the town. I'm a known quantity. If you like the way I do things, if you like a reasonable approach to town government, please indicate that with your vote for me on the 17th. And I thank you.
Thank you very much. That was Jim Egan, his closing comment tonight for this forum. Remember, this forum in its entirety will be up on the WATD website tomorrow morning, late morning, and that's 95.9WATD.com. Certain cuts from this forum will be during your morning news block with Dave Skillon tomorrow morning. You'll be able to hear a little bit of a recap of what happened here tonight. Election in the town of Hansen is May 17th, and as we say it every time, before I say goodbye to Kevin Tachi and our candidates, remember, if you don't don't vote, you don't have a voice. That's something we try to stress very much because it is important. If you don't vote, you don't have a voice, so please get out to the polls. I want to thank our candidates here tonight, Jim Egan, Lawrence McCann, William Scott and Bruce Young, Ken Mitchell Sr. did not join us tonight. Kevin Tanachi, this is your show, but thanks for doing this special segment here, putting it together, and you and Charles Mathewson, always fun to do these political forums.
Anything to get the word out and at least to better inform the voters of the town of Hanson. That was the whole purpose of this. So we thank you for being our lead here and the moderator.
Thank you. And of course, thanks to the cable who is here as well. You want a little plug now for Hanson Cable?
Whitman Hanson Community Access. They'll probably work to get this on in the next day or two. So folks will have an opportunity to see this as well as an earlier forum that was done. So they'll be better informed about the candidates.
Thank you very much. And again, thank you for everybody for showing up. We always say it's tough to run for office. We appreciate anybody who does it because it's tough. You got to deal with the press. You have to take grief sometimes when it's deserved, sometimes when it's not deserved. But, you know, people willing to stand up, all these candidates. You got five people running for office for one seat in Hanson. I think it's great. I'm Christine James here, 95.9 WATD. And stay tuned for more with Kevin Tanachi.
We'll be right back after this brief message. You are listening to Monday Night Talk.